Welcome to the Ranking Revolution podcast, your go-to source for strategies and ideas for SEO, organic growth, content creation, and online business. I'm your host, Doug Cunnington. In this episode, I chat with my friend, Sean Markey. I've actually known Sean for a few years, and I think I interviewed him for the first time a few years ago, but we kind of ran in the same circles, and I'm subscribed to his email list. So I kind of keep up with him a little bit. And we talk about two main topics in this interview. In the first part, Sean and I talk about his offer of a fractional SEO director and how that's been going and shifting and adapting over time. And then in the second part, we talk about his email newsletter. I love email newsletters. I've had one since I started working online. And with the recent Google updates, some people have shifted and email newsletters are even more popular. People are trying to get more involved in email newsletters. There's many ways to monetize them, and we get into all those details in part two. Like many of the interviews, I've divided this into two separate parts with two different topics. I hope you enjoy the conversation so much that you do check out part two. And let's get to the interview with Sean Markey from Rank Logic right now. Today, we're joined by Sean Markey, a seasoned SEO expert with a track record of turning affiliate sites into six-figure successes. He started his journey in 2008, and he's navigated some ups and downs of the SEO world, like we all have. It's a roller coaster out there. And Sean brings a wealth of knowledge and a unique perspective on digital marketing. Beyond his professional achievements, you're dedicated to sharing insights through his newsletter and an upcoming Age Domain course. Is that still coming out or?
Yep, still working on that.
Cool. All right. And you're driven by a desire to give back to the community, and we'll link up so people can read your about page and stuff like that. So Sean, it's been a while since we caught up. How's it been going?
Good. Probably the biggest change since then is I moved from southeastern Utah to northern Vermont. So quite a big move.
Very cool. It's beautiful out there. It's it could be a little chilly in the winter, right?
A little cold, a little snowy, yeah. But it's worth it for the rest of the year.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, there's a couple topics we're going to get into today. And one of them is about, I guess it's an offer and part of the work that you do as a fractional director of SEO. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then the second part of the conversation is your email newsletter, Rank Theory. And I guess it's a full brand. So I'm on the newsletter and I have been for years. And it's quite entertaining. And I love email newsletters just in general. And they have a resurgence, especially with recent Google updates. A lot of people are thinking, how can I insulate myself? Which, you know, we've been doing that for years. And from the very beginning, I had an email newsletter. Just, I thought it would be a good idea. And it turns out it's a really good idea to insulate yourself from algorithm updates. So those are the two main areas. Now, I want to get a little bit more about your background just so people know, but yeah, sort of your elevator pitch. What's your story in like 90 seconds?
Yep. Started doing SEO around 2011, back when, looking back, it was easy. And, I've worked for a couple different agencies. I worked for Smash Digital for a while, Travis Jameson's agency, helped run things there, learned a lot. I worked for Siege Media for 2 weeks, not a good fit, and then actually left Siege Media because I had a CBD oil affiliate site that started to rank in the top three, and that was like making my salary almost in a month. Just from the affiliate income. So ever since then, around 2019, I've just been doing my own thing. I built and sold several affiliate websites in the cannabis space, built off of Age Domains. And these days I'm doing agency work and writing my newsletter.
Very cool. Okay. So with the agency side of it, is that where the fractional director of SEO sort of comes into play?
Yeah, that's one thing that I just sort of launched on my newsletter in like a desperate bid to get the money coming in. I'm not super employable. I think a lot of entrepreneurs feel the same way. And I had tried to get a job, but it just, there wasn't a lot of good fits for me specifically. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to launch this $1,000 a month. Join my Slack group. Ask me anything you need. Any questions you have, we'll advise you. We'll kind of give you the high level stuff. And at the time, like 9 people pulled the trigger on that. So it was instantly success, which was cool. And it's kind of evolved from there.
Very cool. And let's talk about the agency work a little bit. Like, what does the team look like? And what are the sort of offerings? Because it's interesting. A lot of people are out there either running solo or a pretty small shop, and they may find themselves in the same situation where maybe the pipeline wasn't full or some clients dropped off for external reasons. And then you're like, oh, I need to pull in some revenue. So talk about the agency and kind of the way it's set up.
So it's, I guess, pretty non-traditional. I don't want to run like a 50-person agency. I don't want to sell it someday and, you know, cash out. So it's just me and my business partner, Matt, who run things. I'm much better on the like writing content optimization side of things. And he's really great at the technical SEO, which I'm terrible at. So between us, we kind of, you know, I think cover the spread. And so we work with the fractional SEO clients that are still with us. And we could talk about, you know, some of the reasons why it wasn't the best offer in the world. But we've kind of moved, I guess, upmarket a little bit. And now we really focus on like very high-end strategy audit, you know, doing hands-on work for like very established brands.
Okay, perfect. And I'll connect a couple dots, and maybe you said it. So you were like, all right, we'll try the fractional director thing. And it wasn't exactly what you needed it to be. So now it has morphed into something, I guess, you learned from the offer, right? And you learned about interacting with those initial clients. Is that all correct?
Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's really hard to hold boundaries. Like, just ask us what you need. We'll advise you. You know, if we see some stuff, we'll try and be proactive. But like, I can't look at a site that needs like this big audit and be like, you should really do something about that. It's hard to just not be like, all right. Here's how you fix it. So it was really hard to hold those boundaries for ourselves. And so we're delivering like $6,000 a month in work. But with a price tag of $1,000, it's just hard to pull back enough to be like, here's the little bit of info we're giving you. We still have some clients for which that's perfect. That's exactly what they need. They're founders. They do all the work themselves. They just need some direction. And so for that, it's really great. But we found that like these big e-commerce people that were working with us need so much more. Like the scope was so much larger. So we kind of just moved in that direction naturally.
Got it. That's exactly where my brain was going. So my previous job was a project manager in like big software implementations. So this sounds like it'd be super important to be specific on the scope. And if you're not, then scope creep. I mean, it's just a misunderstanding of expectations on both ends. And then all of a sudden, you know, someone thought you were going to put in 60 hours a week, like a director of SEO, but really it's a fractional director. And maybe it's only 20 hours. And how do you prioritize that? So did you have those like sort of conversations initially, or it was just like gray? Everything was a gray area.
Yeah. I mean, at first it was just like, this is what it is. Sign up if you're interested. And that's how I went forward. I did a lot of the work myself at first. I overpromised, maybe over-delivered on the calls we were having. So I was having like, you know, 5 or 6 hour-long calls a week digging into sites. It was exhausting. Like 5 or 6 doesn't sound like a lot, but like it just takes up the best part of your brain for the best part of the day. And so it was definitely a learning experience, and we kind of dialed that in over time, and we still offer it to some people and it's perfect for them. You know, we did have a couple clients that were like, hey, we want to make this bigger. We want more from you. How do we do that? And so that's when we started to just kind of naturally go, But I mean, as far as like, hey, I need some money, what do I do? Like, it was a great thing that really worked out well and kind of kicked off the agency play.
So currently you and your partner, Matt, kind of split tasks. It sounds like it's a good match where your strengths and weaknesses, they match up just perfectly. So there's mm-hmm. not too much overlap. Talk about the offer that you have now. So after, you know, working through it and understanding what the bigger companies need, what does it look like if you could, you know, the high level bullet points?
We, like, the first thing we try and push is a $5,000 audit, because even companies that are like, we've worked with SEOs, we, you know, have an idea of what things look like, and then we get in there and, well, no, you don't. Like, there's a lot of, so, and really, like, it's also just paying for our time. Like, it's not just like, oh, these pages, you know, this is a soft 404, or like, you need to interlink here, but it's like, oh, this is how your business works. These are the pages that make money. This is how the funnel looks. Like, just really understanding all that, I think, is something that can get overlooked by people. Like, oh, we just rank these keywords. Look at all the traffic that's coming in, but like, it's making $0. So doing that audit first really helps us to understand, you know, the lay of the land and fix any issues that need to be fixed. And then from there, you know, we have offers like monthly ongoing work, or like, we try and build things in sprints. So like, each month you get 2 sprints and it's this much, and this is the scope of everything. So it's very, the guardrails are very well defined.
The monthly sprints, it sounds like they're sort of customized and ad hoc, and you kind of have an idea for, you know, if you were going to do internal linking in an internal linking mm-hmm. audit, then maybe you have a, whatever, a price per page or something like that, or a price per cluster. Is it kind of broken out and internally you guys know how much work something is?
Yeah. And, you know, every business is different, but if it's like, oh, you know, we need to revamp these category pages, so that's going to take this certain amount of time, that represents, you know, 2 weeks of work, that's sprint number one. We'll do this very defined project within these 2 weeks, and then the next 2 weeks, you know, we'll be working on this, and then meeting and see what the next quarter looks like. So it's all kind of planned out like that.
Got it. What size of business are you working with? So a 5K audit, right? Conceivably, the company's making a lot of money to be able to afford that amount, is just like, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a drop in the bucket, really.
Yeah. It's mostly like SaaS and e-com stores that we're really working with. Like, you know, affiliates really don't have $5,000 to spend on an audit, and, you know, unless they're the wire cutter or something, but they haven't been calling yet. So yeah, just focusing on like very established e-commerce and SaaS brands, kind of our sweet spot.
And that makes total sense. So they're making a lot of money. They've been successful for a little while, but they realize like, hey, things have gotten out of hand, and we need some experts mm-hmm. to come in here because it's kind of a mess. And maybe even if they have internal SEO folks, maybe they're too close to it as well. So sometimes do you need to work with internal SEO people?
Actually, this is pretty new, so that hasn't been the case yet. Typically, a site is just killing it because they are using a lot of great content, or their products are great and they've been around for 10 years. Like, they have a lot of stuff working in their favor, but there's a ton of low-hanging fruit because they just have like some people they hired that are good writers. And that's how they built their SEO so far, and they get linked naturally. And so, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do. And it's like, well, we could hire a whole SEO team and train them and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, maybe we can work with these guys. They know what they're doing. They'll come in. They'll be super focused. Yeah. So typically an established business that doesn't yet have an SEO team seems to be where we find ourselves working.
Have you looked at or worked with any startups? So when you mentioned SaaS, I was like, it sounds like maybe a lot of those folks that you're working with are maybe bootstrapped, but have you started working or looked at that market where they may have a lot of funding and a lot of money burning a hole in their pockets?
Not yet. I mean, it sounds like a great market, but I think you also have to really be able to, you know, flex and show a lot of case studies and similar, you know, experience to people who have a huge checkbook and are just getting started. And I think typically, like, a lot of the investors, this is just my assumption, may have people they've worked with in the past and people they want to, like, push the startup to work with, you know, that they trust already. So I haven't really explored that yet. It might be a good idea to start getting in with some investors to be that person. But yeah, it's mostly like established brands that have just grown over time.
Got it. I was chatting with someone recently, and they just have a YouTube channel where they were sharing, you know, really similar stuff that you share in your newsletter, actually, and maybe some more case studies and stuff like that. But they said that they were finding a handful of startup, just, I guess, companies with funding. And they were like, hey, you know, we're looking at thousands of dollars per month. We need some SEO help. So yeah, definitely worth it to look at. I mean, I haven't done it, so I have no idea. But yeah, money has dried up a little bit more in the last couple of years, but it's always cyclical. So there could be another time before too long where
for sure
people are trying to just throw money at you. Good problem to have.
Yeah.
All right. So it's you and Matt. Do you ever find yourself where you're like, okay, we need to bring on a junior consultant to come on and do these recategorizations or anything like that?
We've got one or two freelance people we work with. Typically, the bulk of the work is done by us. So that's a problem we'll definitely have to address eventually. We're not large enough for that to be something we had to do yet. But it's definitely on the horizon. And having those couple of contractors helps. Be like, hey, could you do this particular research or, you know, do this? Just throw stuff their way.
And I'm curious about just working with clients in general. So I tried some agency stuff when I first got laid off, and it was quite profitable. It's a great way to bring in money. But I didn't have the right attitude to work with clients. I'll put it that way. And yeah. I was like, okay, this is not for me. So do you have any struggles with client work?
I mean, I'm particularly, I'll say it's been nice getting clients through the newsletter because they already know who I am and they know that I'm, you know, kind of grumpy and ranty and have really strong opinions about things and curse all the time. So that's been nice. It's definitely been harder to court some of these like real bigger brands that expect the whole sales process and like walk us through your sales deck and, you know, show us, like, tell us about your KPIs and all this stuff. Cause I'm like, have that. So I've been making those, it's definitely worth it. That's just not me. And so, as soon as it makes sense to hire like a salesperson, I struggle.
That's a tough question. Cause I'm like, hey, do you not like working with clients while there's potential clients watching? But that's the reality. Like, there are good clients and there are difficult clients. And if people know you and they know your personality and their expectations line up with what you're delivering, then obviously everybody wins, but it's when you have a mismatch. So have you had the situation, not necessarily in this iteration of agency work, but with other client work where you needed to break up with the client? If so, how did that go?
Don't think I've done that recently. I've done it for sure in the past, just like, hey, we're not actually like, we're not the people you're looking for. You need to find someone else. I can connect you with some people I think might be, you know, more up your alley, but not, we can't deliver what you need us to deliver. It's not a great conversation to have, but it's definitely nice to be confident enough to have that. This is, you know, even if like that's the best case. Like, hey, okay, you're asking for a lot of this and that's not our thing and blah, blah, blah. But if it's just like, oh man, this guy sucks. Like, I'm getting rid of him. Like, he can have his $3,000. I don't want to work for that kind of money for this kind of situation. It can be very satisfying. Been there in the past, but everything this time around has been great.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, they probably have the same feeling too. And I've had, again, the short stretch where I did some client work. I kind of knew it was not a good fit at the beginning, but I needed to earn some money. And later on, I learned to trust the gut and just, you know, if I had to price myself out of the job, like that was often a better position. And then every now and then they accept it, which that also creates problems because then you're like, oh no, they're paying me this huge amount of money. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the learning process because you reconfigured the offer a little bit. What tips do you have? And I'll just make up an avatar for us to focus on. Let's say it's a person that is just doing SEO consulting on their own, and they want to put together a better offer. They might hire someone on a freelancer, just like you mentioned, occasionally for some extra help, but they're looking to put together a bigger package. What would you put in there and what advice would you give them as they're like trying to figure out the starting point for that offer?
I mean, I really think the best way to do things is just to do something, see how it goes, iterate, you know, like the best teacher is experience. But I guess my advice would be kind of like I mentioned earlier, like look at what actually earns them money. It's not just an increase in organic traffic. It's an increase in a specific organic traffic that, you know, turns into customers for this person. So like, you know, focus on walking them through the funnel, top of funnel to bottom of funnel, and how your SEO directly, your efforts directly connect to the user's journey from becoming aware to becoming a customer. I think if you could kind of speak that language, you'll be speaking a language they're very interested in hearing.
Do you find that the company doesn't know what their funnel looks like and you have to actually educate them on that part of it?
I mean, that might be the case, especially if you're working with maybe less established businesses, but if you get like a, you know, 10 figure a year e-commerce store, like they know what products sell, they know how people find them, and they just need to make that better or more, you know, just get those numbers up. So sometimes that can be the case. If you're working with like newer companies, they may not know all of that. But for us working with more established brands, it hasn't been such a problem.
Would you, or do you have a preference on whether you work with a company that knows or does not know? Because I think they both have value, right? Like one company that knows where their funnel is and how it works, you don't have to educate them on that, but maybe you're not bringing as much value, right? So if you blow someone's mind and you're like, hey, look over here, like this is unutilized, and all of a sudden you can make one change. So do you have any preference on working with a more, I guess, funnel aware brand versus clueless?
Not me personally. I don't have a preference either way. You know, they both have their pros and cons. Working with somebody more established, you know, the low-hanging fruit isn't so low. They may have to work a little harder, be a little bit more creative to turn your efforts into a better bottom line for them, compared to, you know, you're doing more educating. It's taking more of your direct time, but there's a lot of low hanging fruit. There's a lot of wins. You can kind of build on that. It's definitely a good type of company to start working with at first, because then you could show that traffic graph to the other people. Hey, oh, you want case studies? Like, look, we grew traffic 1200%, in 9 months and increased sales and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I guess they both have their place.
And last couple questions before I'll transition over to talking about your newsletter. But you sound like, you know, you're not a natural salesperson, right? You don't have some of the pieces of the puzzle and you're converting a lot on your newsletter, right? So what tips do you have for folks to maybe present those testimonials, or yeah, what's your approach? Like if you have a lead that comes in and then maybe they're a referral, so they don't really know you, they don't know your style. What's like the bare minimum that you prepare to present in the call?
I guess at the moment, my first preference is just to get on a call with them, like an intro call, see if we're good to kind of learn about their business. You know, I'll go through a website in Ahrefs, something like look at what keywords are ranking for, see what keywords are targeting. I think one thing that helps, like I'm not maybe a good salesperson. I don't like being on. I'm a much better writer than I am a presenter, but I'm still like a big nerd about SEO. Like I get excited about things when I see like, oh, like we could do this. Like, oh, you could target this. And, you know, if you consider Google Discover, like here's how you can. So I think if you can connect someone with someone on a call like that and really just kind of demonstrate your knowledge and your excitement about it, I think that goes a long way. So like the next call after that will be more of like I put together this deck, here's what we do, here's what it costs, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like, it's a lot less natural and a lot less of an exciting thing. So I think getting that kind of on the map in the first call has been helpful. Like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's a huge nerd. He is interested in our product, or he has experience in this space. You know, they can maybe forgive you on the sales call if you're just sort of a monologuer and, you know, kind of, if it's not the best version of it.
Okay. Yeah. And I think, yeah, it could be tough. I guess people have to find their style and everything, but since a lot of your clients do come through the newsletter, I think, I mean, that solves so many problems, like you mentioned before. So before we transition, is there anything else on the agency side that you want to add, or something I missed that you think is important to talk about?
The last thing I'll say, just to kind of give an insight. So like when it comes to actually doing the client work, Matt does a bigger percentage of that than I do. He's just a better SEO than I am, more experienced, smarter, more analytical. I'm more on the creative side of things. So a lot of my energy goes into, you know, making sure the newsletter is produced each week, going on podcasts like this, anything with a more creative bent to try and like grow the amount of people that know about us and can get onto the newsletter. Like everything's just get on the newsletter and then we'll present offers within it. So it took a while to pull it off, but like find the thing you're good at and like go super hard on that and find other people that can fill in the gaps that you're not good at. That's been a huge win for me.
Great advice. Yeah. It's so difficult to try to become like in quotes world class at the thing you suck at. Like we're usually better off like our natural inclination and focusing on that, which is perfect. That's it for part one with Sean Markey. If you want to check out part two, you can just follow the link in the description, or if you're subscribed, it should be in the feed. You'll be able to find it. Don't even worry about it. Be sure to check out the link so you can learn more about Sean. And in part two, we talk about his email newsletter and some of the details. It's a pretty fun newsletter. I kind of gush about how I enjoy the writing, but you could hear that when we get into it. And before you go, if you dig these episodes, if you like the podcast, you could help me out a lot by making sure you're subscribed, leaving a review. If you're watching on YouTube, like and comment on the videos, all of them. You could comment multiple times, just interact with the videos, and it really helps out. Thanks a lot, and we'll catch you on the next episode.